You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
In 1990, Mark Abrams created the Ig Nobels, an awards ceremony to honor scientific achievements that make people laugh and then think. Over the years, the Ig Nobels have celebrated research that sought to understand why woodpeckers don't get headaches, whether humans swim faster in water or in syrup, and to confirm the widely held belief that swearing really does relieve pain. The Ig Nobels are presented at a gala ceremony each year at Harvard University's Sanders Theater and are broadcast via the Internet and on National Public Radio. This year's Ig Nobels gala will be held on September 17th, and it brings Mark Abrams to our show today. Hello.
Hello. Thanks for having me on.
Do humans swim faster in water or syrup?
The fact of the matter is there are very few humans who swim in both water and syrup. There's only one time it's ever been measured that we know of. That was in a big swimming pool in Minneapolis, the University of Minneapolis. Scientists had been wondering about that because people who wrote out a description in mathematical equations couldn't figure out the answer to that. And they finally tested it on some swimmers, some good ones, and what they discovered is it doesn't matter. It almost doesn't matter what you're swimming in, how thick it is. You're going to swim about the same speed.
I'm concerned about the quality of the syrup. Were they using high-quality maple syrup, or are they using Karo?
Oh,
I would imagine there'd be a difference.
No, there. I think Karo syrup, but I'm not sure. And as I recall it, they had some difficulties afterward about how to dispose of all of that syrup in a way that left everybody happy.
Who funded the research? Aren't these projects the sorts of things that members of Congress criticize when they want to make points about unnecessary government spending?
The Ig Nobels are unlike every other prize that I'm aware of. Every other prize for anything is for either the very best in the world, you know, best athlete, best movie, best whatever, or the very worst, worst movie, worst dressed. The Ig Nobels have nothing to do with good or bad. It's just, have you done something that makes people laugh and then think? Most of these things have to do with science, but a lot of them are other things. And people often assume that what we're doing before they look, they assume that we're picking out horrible things and saying, look, this is terrible. But in fact, we're not doing that. And we also don't care. It does not matter for our purposes where the funding came from. And in fact, of the ones we know, most of the science things that have won Ig Nobel Prizes were self-funded.
Do the scientists think their research is funny?
yes and no. When it's pointed out to them, almost always, the quality that would win you an Ig Nobel Prize is that you've done something that is so far outside most people's experience that their first reaction is to laugh. Now, when people get a look at it, they may decide, huh, it's a much more interesting story. This same quality is true for pretty much everybody, what you do in your daily life. I think if I were to ask you to sit down and tell me in great detail, what do you do on a Tuesday morning between 10:15 a.m. and 10:30? If you were honest and you wrote a list of that, it would probably sound like you're doing things that are insane and that you should get some sort of prize for.
Next month, you'll be hosting the 25th annual Ig Nobel ceremony. Have the winners been chosen?
Oh, yeah. The winners have been chosen. There are 10 new winners every year. Almost all of them are coming at their own expense from around the world to the ceremony at Harvard.
And how many countries are represented?
This year, I think about 15. I haven't really sat down to count the number of countries yet. And as usual, we have a bunch of Nobel Prize winners who will be up on the stage physically shaking the hands of the winners and handing out the prizes to them. If you don't mind, I'd like to mention one of New York City's Ig Nobel winners from a few years ago who I think has not got the attention he deserves in the world. His name is John Trinkus. He's a professor emeritus at one of the business schools in New York City. And he won an Ig Nobel Prize in the field of literature because he published, over the course of his career, about 100 academic reports about things that annoy him. If something really annoyed Professor Trinkus, he would sit down, he'd count how often it happens, and he'd write up a little report. For example, a few of them. He's got reports about how many young people wear baseball caps with the peak facing to the rear rather than to the front, how many pedestrians on a certain corner in New York City were wearing sports shoes that are colored white rather than some other color.
And that bothered him.
How many people approaching a particular doorway in Manhattan would go through the door that's already open, and how many would go through the door next to it that they had to reach open and open themselves, all sorts of things like that.
Now, we'll talk about some of the other former prize winners. I guess you can't reveal who's going to be winning it this year. This is kind of like the Oscars, isn't it?
That's correct. It's a great secret until they're revealed on the stage.
But this year you'll also offer two moments of science by performing chemists. What's that?
Yes, these are some chemists who do a lot of the demonstrations for chemistry and physics classes at Harvard. And every year they pick out two things that are spectacular to see that take about 30 seconds. They may be very difficult to describe, but that's not the point. These are pure visual spectacles.
One of the traditions has been to intersperse the ceremony with a science-themed opera. What's the name of this year's opera and who wrote it?
Yeah, we've been doing that for 20 years now. Every year we write a new opera. We steal the music from classical composers, and then I write a new story and words, and then we get some opera singers to sing it, and the famous scientists on the stage join in non-singing roles. This year, the opera is called The Best Life, and it's about people who organize a huge worldwide televised event to choose the best species of life of all the millions of species of animals, plants, bacteria, and everything else. Which one is the best? And they get them all together in one gigantic room. It's going to be wonderful. All the world is waiting to see it. And then, of course, when they get all the species together in one room, the species eat each other, have forced sex with each other, infect each other, and it all goes wrong. And in the end, lawyers parade on stage and clean it up.
I guess Noah wasn't aware of those possibilities.
That's right, although he is mentioned in the opera as being somebody who inspired this all.
You'll have a special contest as well. What's the prize?
Every year at the ceremony, the tickets always sell out very quickly. The Sanders Theater is the biggest meeting place and the biggest lecture hall at Harvard. It fits 1,100 people. One of those 1,100 ticket holders is chosen at random to win a date with a Nobel laureate.
A married one or an unmarried one?
Are you talking about the ticket holder or the Nobel laureate?
Well, in both cases. Are we going to have an Ashley Madison scandal here?
Well, for many years now, in fact, since we started this, we've had a sort of don't ask, don't tell policy about these dates. So we really don't know the personal details, or if we know, we don't tell.
My guess is Mark Abrams, who created the Ig Nobels, this year's gala will be held on September 17th. The Ig Nobels is an initiative of an organization called Improbable Research. Why improbable?
Improbable means many things, but to us, improbable means not what you expect. We have a magazine that comes out six times a year called the Annals of Improbable Research, and there's tons of stuff on our website at improbable.com. And it's all real stuff from parts of the world and from your neighbors, including maybe the people down the hall who are doing things that you're probably not aware of, things that are so far beyond what you expect to ever hear about, that they're probably pretty funny when you first hear about them. They'll make you laugh and then think.
And who nominates the scientists?
Everybody. Anybody can send in a nomination. Every year we get something in the ballpark of about 9,000 or so new nominations. A lot of scientists send those in, a lot of the general public, a lot of reporters. A lot of people nominate themselves, although the self-nominees almost never win an Ig Nobel Prize. If you're trying to win an Ig Nobel Prize, you are almost certainly going to fail.
In 2014, the prize for public health went to scientists in four countries investigating whether it's mentally hazardous for a human being to own a cat. Did they collaborate on this, or were they just all coincidentally studying the
effects? No, this was two groups. One is in the Czech Republic. They had been working on this for years and years. They were looking mostly at a bug, a microorganism called toxoplasm that lives in the brains of many different animals, especially cats, and that can be transmitted to the brains of other animals. And it's a peculiar kind of little infectious agent that can completely change the way an animal behaves when it gets in your brain. And they've been looking at the real possibility that people, especially women, it turns out, who are infected with this from their cats, may have their behavior sometimes change drastically. That was the group in Europe. The group they shared the prize with, who were not collaborators, they had never met until they got to the Ig Nobel ceremony. The American group did something very different. They looked at hospital records in this country of, I think it was about 10 million patients. It was a large number. And they discovered that the people who have it on their medical record that they've been treated for depression, for being bitten by a cat, that enormous numbers of those people also have it on their medical records that they've been treated for depression. And in particular, of the women who've been treated for cat bite, about 50% of them also have at some point been treated for depression. So those doctors said they don't really know what this means, but it woke them up, and it was kind of startling.
Last year's prize for biology went to scientists in the Czech Republic, Germany, and Zambia for the research into dogs. They discovered that when dogs defecate and urinate, they prefer to align their body axis with Earth's north sound geomagnetic field lines. I've always wondered why they fidget so much.
Wondering about this, and they look like they've done this very carefully, and they were looking at dogs when they're allowed to roam freely out in strange places. And they say that one of the things that convinced them that this happens is that on some days the dogs did not do that, and when the scientists checked, those were the days when Earth's magnetic field was fuzzy, when there were solar storms or other things, so that the magnetic field was not calm. On days when it was calm, they say dogs pretty consistently align their bodies more or less north-south. So, of course, this is one group of scientists, and others are wondering whether they can come up with the same result. But you can do the experiment, too. And, in fact, the scientists asked everybody in the world to help gather data for them. If you go to their website, they've got a little app you can use.
And the prize in neuroscience was awarded to six scientists in China and Canada who wondered what happens to the brains of people who see the face of Jesus in a piece of toast. But some of these, for example, seem to me to have real possibilities for practical use. The Ig Nobels honored a research paper on the effects of various brands of cola on sperm mortality, which sounds funny, but in some developing parts of the world, women use colas as a contraceptive because they believe it kills sperm. So what happened there? What did they discover?
Dr. Deborah Anderson, who at that point had a lab at Harvard, she also now is at Boston University, her lab was looking at trying to come up with new methods of contraception. And one of the youngest doctors working in her lab was a young woman who said that she, the young woman, had gone to a Catholic girls' high school in Puerto Rico, and that the girls there used Coca-Cola as a contraceptive. Dr. Anderson laughed at that. She thought that was a joke. And then the girl said to her, no, all the girls I went to high school with did that. Dr. Anderson asked around and found out that, indeed, around the world there were and still are many, many people who believe that Coca-Cola is an effective form of birth control.
And it isn't RC Cola that really is?
Well, that's a separate question. So Dr. Anderson did some tests to see, is it true? Does it work? And what she discovered was that in a test tube, yes, Coca-Cola will kill sperm, or at least keep it from moving the way it needs to move. But outside a test tube, say on the firing line, I guess you could describe it, it is not an effective form of contraception, even though a lot of people seem to believe that it is.
We've pretty much run out of time, but your mention of the firing line, Mark, Reminds me that of a couple of other things. Dr. Elena Bodner was honored for a bra she designed, which can be converted into two gas masks. You have to wonder why.
Two face masks, yeah. She was a doctor at Chernobyl. She treated a lot of victims of the Chernobyl power plant meltdown, and she discovered that a lot of the Chernobyl victims, the medical damage came mostly from little particles in the air, radioactive particles they breathed in. So she spent many years wondering, is there something that people, ordinary people in just a normal-seeming place could do if a horrible emergency like that happens? And years later, she realized that if you look around in most places, half the people you see are wearing nice pieces of cloth that could be used to protect people's breathing for at least a few minutes. And so she engineered this special bra that can quickly, easily be separated into two face masks with a couple extra straps so that it leaves your hands free while you're wearing them.
One of the most curious ones goes back to 1999, inventors of a new car that came with flamethrowers to prevent carjacking. Has anybody ever made this car?
Oh, yes. They began to manufacture. It wasn't a car. It was a flamethrower attachment that you could buy and have installed on any car. They started to sell it in South Africa. It was almost immediately banned, and they then tried to sell it in many other countries. In every country they tried to put it on sale, it was almost immediately banned.
Before you go, how can people tune in to the award ceremony?
You go to our website, which is at improbable.com. The 25th first annual Ig Nobel ceremony will happen on Thursday night, September 17th at 6 p.m. East Coast time.
We have a link to it on our show page.
Yep. And we've got video from a lot of previous ceremonies up there as well.
And then NPR will also broadcast it?
Yep. The Science Friday program has been recording it and then broadcasting an edited version on the day after Thanksgiving every year since 1992.
And then there are two books, Ig Nobel Cookbook, and This is Improbable, too.
Yeah, I've written a bunch of books about some of the Ig Nobel winners, and last year some of the winners got together and contributed their favorite recipes for Ig Nobel winning things that they cooked up that you could cook up.
Mark Abrams, creator of the Ig Nobels, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.